We continue with hour number four of the Steve Cochran Show. Show number 615, Todd Furman. He's one of the great odds makers of all time. You can find him. Is he still doing Sportsline? Is that the best place, Kevin, to find him, to find Furman? I mean, I suppose I could actually ask him.
You could ask him. He's on the line here. Yeah. Let's see. I've got his
co-host of Bet the Board. And listen, he's really good. We're back in a tournament today. And there's nobody better than Todd Furman to talk about. You know, Todd, if I'm going to bet the kids milk money today, who do you like?
Well, the first thing I have to do in my due diligence and tell you, responsible gaming is the name of our business. So I have to preach, you know, hey, save a little bit of that milk money in case things go awry.
But good point.
If you're looking to try and find the best bet of the four games today, I actually think Maryland is seriously undervalued. You can grab the Terrapins at 6.5-point dogs. You look at the way they perform in the opening weekend. The fact that they were able to beat Hawaii as comfortably as they did, going 1 of 18 from deep, a little bit of regression this week. I think Mello Trimble pushes Kansas to the brink and maybe knocks off the Jayhawks in the biggest upset of the Sweet 16.
I think that's probably a really good call because I think Maryland's been undervalued. And, Dave, you watch these guys all year long.
Yeah, yeah, that's one I've been looking at. And, Todd, I agree with you. I think Maryland, when they're on, they can beat anybody. The problem is that late in the season in the Big Ten, they had some bumps. They didn't play especially well going into the tournament. But, yeah, the fact they were able to use their defense to beat Hawaii the way they did without the shots falling from outside is pretty impressive.
I think that's the one thing, especially this time of year. We know that these players can get tight. They may be unfamiliar venues that they're heading into. So if you can rely on your defense to offset those 4 or 5 minute inevitable offensive droughts you're going to go through, that becomes the one constant. And you're exactly right. You talk about Maryland and their struggles late in the year in Big Ten play, but they started to show a little bit more. Their game against Michigan State in the conference tournament really opened my eyes, and how quickly the casual bettor and fan forgets. Maryland was actually the preseason favorite to cut down the nets in Houston. You look at the Terps, they were 7-1 way back in November.
Wow. Who's the kid that was supposed to deliver this year and maybe be player of the year that's been real spotty for Maryland?
Well, Mello Trimble is their sophomore point guard, and then they got a freshman center, Diamond Stone. Who,
that's right,
in his
Diamond
first,
Stone.
In his first game, he's from Milwaukee. In his first game in the Big Ten, he had like 39 points and 20-some rebounds, I think, against Penn State.
But real spotty, right? Up, down, not always consistent?
It is definitely – yeah, it's been a little bit inconsistent for him. I think, though, the Maryland team on a whole, you look at about a six-week stretch from the middle of January until towards the end of the regular season, this was a team that bettors really didn't want to back. They were looking to go against them with alarming regularity, and oftentimes that's what the professionals will try and identify, a team that's undervalued in the market, and I think that's the scenario we're seeing tonight against Maryland.
At Todd Furman, at Todd Furman, F-U-H-R-M-A-N, Todd Steak, S-T-A-K-E, Todd Steak. .com. These are like Trump steak. Steak is S-T-A-K-E, ToddSteak.com. What about Duke, Oregon?
This is a game where you have some money coming in on both sides. It's been fascinating to try and watch the movement. Oregon opened up as a 2-point favorite. Number got as high as 3 before there's been a little bit of resistance. The total has actually taken some money. That opened at 156, climbed as high as 159, has come back to 156 where it initially started. You look at this Duke team, the second half against Yale, it appeared as they'd never seen a press or any semblance of pressure with the Bulldogs basically trimming that 23-point halftime deficit into a 3-possession game late. You look at Oregon on the other side, the Pac-12 hasn't exactly been the best representative as far as an overall conference with one team getting into the Sweet 16. For me, I think Duke, having been there, done that, if my feet are forced to the fire, would lean towards the Blue Devils catching 3. But I worry that Oregon will throw a lot of athletes at them, and if Duke shots aren't falling from deep, the Blue Devils won't find it easy to score in the interior.
A&M, Oklahoma. A&M, of course, probably shouldn't even be here.
Yeah, pretty fortunate if you look at the Aggies, the largest comeback in college basketball history, not just the tournament, in knocking Northern Iowa off last weekend. This number, the biggest movement of the four games today. OU opened as a 1.5-point favorite. You're now out to 3. Total 145 to 146.5. And the thing about it, the books will be rooting for A&M. About 8 out of every 10 tickets on this game coming in on Buddy Hield and company. I think A&M, if they can get to the offensive glass and keep this game close, now you're playing with house money. I actually like the Aggies in this spot.
And our friend Chuck Todd, Miami grad, has Miami going all the way to the title because he's a homer. Villanova wins that game, don't they, today?
I'm on the other side of this one. I think
are
you? Look at the conferences that these two teams hail from, and Miami going 13-5 in the ACC, a little bit more impressive than Villanova's resume. You look at what the Wildcats have done since January 1st. Yes, they beat Xavier on New Year's Eve, but their biggest wins have come against the likes of Providence, Butler, and Seton Hall. And while those are good quality wins, it's nowhere near the caliber of competition the Hurricanes have faced. And then you look at what Nova did last weekend, disposing of UNC Asheville in Iowa, shooting roughly 59% from the floor. If there's anything close to regression for Jay Wright's team, it comes today. And I think Miami, their ability with their guards to put pressure on Nova, who wants to spread the floor, I think Miami takes out Villanova. You won't need the points in this one.
Todd, we got a couple of games here in Chicago tomorrow. I want to ask you about those, but I'm really intrigued by the matchups in the East. And I think the game that I most want to see of the Sweet 16 is Notre Dame-Wisconsin, along with that North Carolina-Indiana game. I think those are two really interesting matches.
I think the Syracuse-Gonzaga game.
Well, that could be. Yeah,
really
that could be the game here.
I can tell you from speaking to some of the sportsbook operators, both here in town and offshore, that the Indiana-North Carolina game, as far as overall betting handle is concerned, maybe the most heavily bet game, not only of this weekend, but the entire tournament, with two blue bloods going into battle in prime time on Friday night. And you look at that number, Carolina 5.5-point favorite, total there 158.5. Indiana really opened some eyes for most of the country with the way that they were able to beat Kentucky, using their defense more so than their offense to get it done. I think Carolina just too strong inside, but guys, my number makes this 5.5, so this is one I'll watch as a fan without an investment. Wisconsin, Notre Dame, you mentioned, and you look at this Badgers team, the one constant for them has been their defense. They're actually 13-3 to the under in games played away from the Kohl Center this year. I think with Notre Dame, though, defensively, not nearly as stout as what Wisconsin encountered throughout Big Ten play. And for me, I really believe that Notre Dame's got to get Wisconsin out of the half-court game as best as possible. Not that easy to do. Feels like a coin flip on the side, but I think the game goes over the total at 131.
How about Syracuse-Gonzaga?
Interesting. Everyone wants to talk about Gonzaga as an 11 seed, but this will actually be the third time this tournament the Bulldogs are installed as a favorite. They closed as modest 1.5-point favorites in their opening win against Seton Hall and also in their win against Utah. And it's been defensively what they've been able to do. Mark Few's team seems to play better basketball when there aren't expectations. You have seen money, though, from the professionals take this number at 5 at the peak down to 4. I think this game is a little bit lower scoring than the 135 indicates. The Q's knows they can't run up and down the court with Gonzaga all day. They'll have to try and bunker into a half-court set.
And I assume most people think Virginia is going to use that defense, keep Iowa State's big offensive number down?
Yeah, people leaning toward that way, about 65% of the public action coming on Virginia. The total, though, 141, indicates that Iowa State may be able to get buckets with a little bit more regularity than we've seen against the Cavs. My biggest fear here is if Virginia gets down, do they have enough offense to get back in the game? But if they're able to play from the catbird seat, they should be okay. And Virginia, you talk about a team who benefited the most from a Cinderella-laden first round, them not having to draw Michigan State to get to Houston, probably a blessing in disguise.
Since you don't have to spend any money on it between now and the end, who's your ultimate winner as you sit here on Thursday morning?
For me, I have to stay true to who I picked before the tournament, and I'll ride North Carolina despite some erratic guard play. I think that they're going to go out on top, just the most complete team and deepest side from top to bottom.
Listen, if you make any money, it's because Todd told you. And, of course, right. You have to split it all with Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Todd Furman, and again, at Todd Furman, Furman, toddstake.com. And what's the disclaimer we're supposed to say, Todd, to do the right thing?
Make sure you keep money aside and treat gambling as a form of recreation. The lifestyle it takes, boys, to turn this into a profession comes with sacrifices that most of the listeners probably don't want to embark on.
Right. Todd's on wife number 9. I don't know if you know that or not. Larry King called Larry King called Todd and said, slow down. So you're a good man, Todd. Thank you for getting up.
Thank you for having me, guys. Appreciate it. Enjoy the games this weekend.
Thanks, Todd.